You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Follow the mystery. The Orphans, new episodes every Monday, exclusively at OneOfUs.net.
Hello and welcome to an extremely delayed episode 2 of Heel Heat. Unfortunately, we had some technical problems with this episode and we missed recording the end of the discussion. Gina and I are both really sorry about that. So when it cuts out of the end, we'd just like to apologize. These things happen in radio. Please listen to the show. Thank you so much for listening to everything on the OneOfUs.net network. And we will be back really, really soon with the next Heel Heat, in which we'll be looking at the fallout from Extreme Rules, what's happening with the WWE brand split, what it means for NXT, what it happens to means for the rest of the wrestling world. And you know what? On with the show. Welcome back to Heel Heat, Volume 2, as we emerge from the ashes of the aftermath of Payback.
Or as I like to call it, Retribution.
Yeah.
Redemption, maybe?
sorry for all the shitty endings at WrestleMania. I'm Richard.
I'm Eugene.
Well, we are back dealing with all the matters wrestling, and yeah, it's the Saturday after the Sunday of Payback, WWE's post-WrestleMania, hey, here's where we're actually going with all the plots. Here's what we're actually doing with characters. And, you know, a lot of the news has been overshadowed by the fact there were a whole bunch of releases this week.
Yes. If memory serves me correct, we have the only unexpected one I thought was Sandow.
I am actually not surprised. But, I mean, we had first of all, I think the big surprise was they let Rich Brennan go.
Oh, yes. Although, once Mauro Ranallo came on...
I would have thought they'd keep Brennan down in NXT. But then the NXT team's so strong. Like, you know, what do you need? I mean, when you've got Corey Graves just raining hell on Byron Saxton, who is getting better. I used to hate Byron Saxton, and he's getting a lot better.
Yeah, he's more tolerable. He's a lot more tolerable now.
And then there was another announcer they let go as well. There was a backstage interview.
I thought it was a manager, Zeb Coulter.
No, well, they let Zeb Coulter go, which is a stupid idea because you should keep, you know, if you're still looking for somebody to replace Dusty Rhodes, Dan NXT, it's Zeb Coulter. The guy is, you know, Dutch Mantel is such a wrestling genius. You know, if you're not going to have the spine to bring Jim Cornette in, although the Revival this week were tweeting, it's like, it'd be nice if we had Jim Cornette. I'm like, Jim Cornette in NXT would cause hell. He'd last about 6 weeks and it would be beautiful.
It would be the most glorious month and a half of watching Rome burn.
People who will never, ever, ever be back in the WWE. Unless Vince dies and there's a real change of the guard, I think
he may be at the top of the list.
I think he's the list. him and Kurt Angle, those are the two guys. Those are the two names that I would love to see back in WWE.
Well, I thought now. With Angle, it wasn't so much Vince. I thought it was Triple H.
I think it's everybody at this point. Plus, I think they spent so much money on trying to get him straight, and then he goes to TNA.
Yeah.
But he seems to have got his shit together now. So you know, like.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Good luck to him. And he does seem to be going, I don't want to do wrestling anymore. I want to do something else. And I was like, good for you.
For his sake of his health.
Yeah.
I don't think his neck and back can take much more.
No. But, well, his neck, definitely not. That's that's Rey Mysterio's knees level of just not working. But who else did we lose?
Santino,
who I legitimately thought had already gone.
I thought he's been retired for like 2 years.
Yeah, I thought he was like, he was working like, you know, he's got a battle arts gym up in Toronto, so shocked by that. Heath Slater, which of all the people in in the social outcast.
The curse backfires now. And
that's so weird.
Typically, it's anyone associated with him gets canned.
Finally, they worked out the mistake. The funny thing is, I like Heath Slater, but I'm like, you guys clearly have had no idea what to do with him.
What to do with him, yeah.
And I genuinely hope that he goes to TNA. TNA gets its shit sorted, which we'll move on to in a moment, because we do need to talk about that. And he has the kind of success that you're getting with Drew Galloway, where you're finally seeing how good Drew Galloway is. But I think Weasley heel Heath Slater would be awesome.
I agree.
Damien Sandow going is fucking travesty.
Damien Sandow, it's been years since I've seen creative fail a wrestler as much as they fail Sandow. And Sandow was over.
Yeah.
Listen to the audience every time he came out. He was over.
Yeah. So. And they botched everything that could have got it. We never got the blow-off feud between Miz and Mizdow.
Like, which should have been at Mania. That match, honestly, one of two things. They shouldn't have had those two in that Battle Royal, and that should have just been a one-on-one match at WrestleMania, or they should have let that brew until SummerSlam and have a huge, either the IC belt or the US title.
And yet, The Miz is now on another push. At the expense of Sandow, at the expense of Zack Ryder, who I thought this was when they were finally gonna when they said like releases are coming, it's that time of year. I thought, look, they're finally gonna get rid of Ryder, which is a real shame because he's a guy that I think if you want to talk about people like never really know what to do with.
Yes, creative also failed him,
which is, and I'm like, I like the fact that he's in the main event. He's in the lower belt hunt on Raw and SmackDown, but then at the same time, I love the hype bros. I don't care what anybody says. The fact that this wonderful portrayal of Zack Ryder, who every now goes, look, he's too old to play, you know, the woo 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 guy, but hooking him up with Mojo Rawley, a guy who is like, yeah, let's still do that. He's like, I hurt. I'm old, but like, it is kind of fun, but I hurt, I'm old. And it's like, that's such a wonderful way to progress a character who could have been horribly one note. And I love those two together.
Yes.
They're such good fun.
They work off of each other well. Now, well, shall we start with Payback?
Oh my God. Well, let's also say, you know, the unsurprising departure.
Torito? Hornswoggle?
Again, didn't know he was still there.
At the moment we started seeing the vignettes for Primo and Epico dropping that whole gimmick, I knew Torito was...
Dropping the whole, yeah, we're Puerto Rican, but we're Spanish. Spaniards, what are you?
What? Yes.
Like, and the most stereotypical depiction of Spaniards ever.
Ever.
But then Wade Barrett as well.
Barrett, I saw coming forever.
Well, the day he changed his Twitter handle to his actual name, and he seems to be done with wrestling. He seems to be out.
The injuries had he sustained in the last 6 years.
Well, and it was all the same. It was all related to, you know, you got this guy who clearly has got some issues with his shoulder. And his elbow.
Yes,
and you give him a spinning elbow finisher. Like, the last thing you need to do is give this guy a spinning elbow finisher.
A big boot. Give him something else. I don't know.
Have him beat Cena for the FU. Oh, and Cena's going to be a big match. John's coming back. But he's pulling himself back. He's clearly pulling himself back. So that's a good thing. But
I honestly think, John, I like Kalisto, but it seems the U.S. title has floundered since Cena left. I could see him winning the belt back and renewing the Cena Open Invitational.
Well, it doesn't help that, you know, when you've got the U.S. title in the pre-match.
Two pay-per-views in a row.
The same match, basically.
And they were supposed to be getting Ryback over as this supposed monster. Having him lose to Kalisto 2 months in a row on the pre-show does not make Ryback look strong.
Although the weird thing was that I think everybody's looking at their match on the pre-show. The camera test and white balance match, as I'm calling it. Yeah, that was actually a lot of people are regarding that as Ryback's best match ever. That second rope military slam onto Kalisto, yes. Which then Kalisto kicks out of. So basically, you make Ryback look like a
joke.
He has the same. He's now got the same problem that you give him this beautiful closing finisher, but it's the same problem that they created for themselves with Roman Reigns when Reigns was in the Shield, and you have this guy who you're trying to sell as the monster, and his finisher is a power bomb. But it's an assisted powerbomb because he can't pick the guy up himself. So you take your powerhouse and you make him look like a guy who can't do this thing. And I know they're trying to build the team dynamic up, but you could have done it 10,000 other ways. And that was just like, no, he doesn't look strong. Make Roman look strong. Change his finisher.
Zing.
But yeah, payback. What was your view on the show as a whole?
Honestly, I enjoyed it a little more than most people did. I think it's because I had very low expectations going in.
Yeah.
I didn't expect them to stick with any storylines they've built up since the night after WrestleMania. And for the most part, they did. For the most part. There are some anomalies in there, but shall we go ahead and get to the first match, the opening tag team?
Oy, oy, oy.
Vaudevillains versus Enzo Amore and Big Cass for the number one contendership for the tag team champions.
Well, the end result of this is that the Vaudevillains are the biggest heels in the business at the moment. Which is what they need to be. They could be faces on NXT. The Vaudevillains need to be hate it. And they need vignettes. They need to still...
The problem is they didn't do any vignettes in the lead up to their debut, so the audience is rather...
Is baffled.
Baffled, yes.
They're baffled by who these
guys are.
They're
not cheering, not booing. They're still trying to fill these guys out. It needed at least 6 weeks of vignettes before they debuted.
I think then... Well, I mean, A, the fact that Simon Gotch almost decapitated Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
In one of those, like, this shit happens.
Was it him throwing him too hard, or did Enzo mistakenly think he was supposed to dive through the top instead of baseball sliding?
I think it was a bit of both.
Both.
And I think the problem was, I think Stone Cold Steve Austin called this out absolutely right. He said, you can do that, but you've got to be 5 foot further back.
Yeah.
And they pulled off a perfectly safe move, but they were too close.
Too close.
So Enzo basically ends up caught between hither and thither, catches his neck on the rope, slams his head back, gets a concussion, is out when he hits the floor. But, in a way, like, this is the worst way you want to book this, because you're booking it because you did something wrong. But now the Vaudevillains are the guys who beat people up and don't care and are clearly insane because they're dressed like 19th century carnival.
And Gotch, the greatest line ever. Enzo Amore is now the realest guy in the emergency room.
He's
over.
Such an ass. And I love those guys, and I think it's such a perfect combination because they look like 19th century wrestlers. The whole gimmick is just beautiful. They just need to let the gimmick flow out.
Hopefully, don't overproduce and overwrite these characters as creative tends to do when NXT guys come up.
Yeah. Big Cass now looks like what he is.
More confident.
Which is an angry ass kicker.
Yes.
But he has to have Enzo there to make him a guy that can win matches. He can go out and kick your ass in between matches, but he needs Enzo as the guy that goes, we need to work on this. We need to get all our shit together. And, I'm so glad he's well. Like, it was just a concussion. It was a bad concussion, but there's far worse things that can happen. And it's not like Corey Graves, who just concussion prone. Any fucker would get it. Lesnar would be out with a concussion with this.
Yeah.
So, but that now he comes back and he's what he's always supposed to be. The little guy who does not know how to stop. Like, he's still going to come back and kick ass. And I'm like, you know what? Shitty ending to this because it's because somebody was injured. But oh my God, the upshot of this is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with where this goes from now. Oh well, it's the WWE. And the fact that, then you have... On Monday, you have the New Day coming out and going, look, we didn't want to see this guy get hurt. Not like that.
Yeah.
So that, like, you have them still as the weird, facey heel. Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
Just they are who they are. Also, Big E fucking up his line and going, I don't think anybody noticed. And then going, no, it's all fine. Good recovery. And I'm like, Oh my god, you guys have become the best thing on the show since, by not caring.
Since Xavier Woods jumping up on the apron, Freebird rule! Freebird rule!
I love those guys so much. Oh my god, do you remember the tag division was just hell, and now it's just this thing of beauty? And why? Because they put those tag teams up from NXT.
And also because... Yes. New Day rocks.
New Day fucking rocks like a motherfucker.
Okay. Well, basically, after concussion, refs threw up the dreaded X.
Yeah.
And it was called a no contest, but it seems later on, instead of no contest, something changed, and that it was declared that the Vaudevillains were the winners. So,
I mean, it's a bit hard for them to logically say the Vaudevillains, as Brian Alvarez at Wrestling Observer said, you can't have somebody lose for kicking too much ass.
Exactly.
Like, you know, which makes me think, I think they fucked up. It only makes sense for the Vaudevillains to have won the tournament. They need it in a way that, I mean, I suspect we were supposed to be faced with some kind of run-in that never materialized. A lot of speculation was going to be the Dudleys, which would
highly
make a lot of
likely.
Sense. And then that doesn't happen. So I think, yeah, that probably means the Dudleys, just sat at home drawing a nice check as we speak.
Yeah. So next match up, and it was, as Jim Ross would say, barn burner. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, the match we've been waiting months, if not a little over a year, to see.
We will be doing this for years and years. There's something so perfect, and it's the first time has the WWE ever acknowledged a feud from another promotion in this kind of way before? I can't think of it. The fact that you have got these guys who, like, it's 16 years of them doing this, so they know each other so perfectly. Just acknowledge that. And then what happens on Monday, you know, Kevin Owens comes out and goes, we're done, we're settled. And Sammy goes, no, we're not. We're absolutely not. Plus, Sammy when he was on the highlight reel, the highlight reel with Chris Jericho and The Miz comes out, and he just basically goes, "You two are idiots," in his most beautiful, understated way, which final proof that like you can come out of a match looking like you've had the piss beaten out of you, and still go toe to toe with two of the most pushed guys in the company and make them look like putzes. With the right word. Okay. And this was a guy who nobody thought was going to be the promo guy. And now he comes out and he's toto with the two.
Well,
like,
when Zayn is not overproduced, when he's not forced to give stupid catchphrases or obviously trying to sell t-shirts.
Yeah.
The whole underdog from the underground, I just... whoever came up with that line just should be banned from writing.
And I mean the match itself.
The match itself, I don't think I had a single problem with that match.
No. Well, clearly what they did was they told them, go do that thing you do. Go be those guys. Go be the two guys who, you know, are just going to go out there, kick each other's ass, know exactly, you're going to hear an audible called in their matches? No. And I love the fact that when you come out of it, you're feeding so perfectly into both of their feuds. You know, Kevin Owens comes out on Monday and basically goes, yeah, no, where's my title shot? I killed him. where's my next title shot? I demand my rematch. And you do that so perfectly because you can put Zayn and Owens together and have them interfering with each other, and nobody's ever going to get bored of that. Because it's just, they just know how to do it so perfectly.
And one thing that is really, I won't say hard to do, is just a lot of promotions seem to have trouble with having the match, especially during a heated feud, not come off as over choreographed Cirque du Soleil and actually look like a vicious fight.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off. There were high spots in the match, but they, in between that, they were beating the piss out of each other.
By Monday, you're in a position where you're also putting you know, Cesaro in with them as well. It's like, oh my God, is there going to be a greater three-way dance? Because, you know, the Cesaro Zayn run in NXT, those matches where Cesaro goes, I'm fucking great, and Sami Zayn goes, I can beat you. And he says, you can't beat me. And they go out and have an amazing match, and Cesaro goes, you didn't beat me, but my God, you're good. Cesaro, who's like now back on a roll as well, thank goodness, and they're realizing how good he is.
How many times does Stone Cold have to tell WWE Cesaro is the man you need to be pushing?
The thing that they've been missing, and the stupid tiny ingredient, which is final proof that like sometimes it takes one thing to really get somebody over. The mirror shades. You put Cesaro in mirror shades, and suddenly he looks like a sociopath. Beautiful. Done. Problem
the
solved.
The James Bond gimmick. I'm loving the hell out of it.
As a tearaway suit.
Yes. So I guess we should. Perfect segue into the next match. Cesaro versus Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. Owens decides to stay at ringside and help with the commentary, which I won't say is bad. I won't say that, but yeah, Owens saved what could have been a miserable performance by
being awesome.
Yes.
he is, let's be honest, he's fat CM Punk.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, CM Punk, when he got wise and realized that he didn't have to carry an extra 20 pounds of muscle, and that was actually getting in his way in the WWE, and just went, screw it, I'm not going to bench 200 for 12 hours and just bulk up. I'm going to go back to being the shape I am. Do what I do and do it so well that it's undeniable. And I think because he kicked that door down, now you can have Owens come out and go, yeah, I'm fat, but I'm also the best thing you've got. I'm great on the mic. You can put me anywhere. I'm one of the few people who I could be injured out for 6 months. Now you can still use me. And, you know, let's be honest. Does The Miz need to be anywhere near anything at the moment? I hate the fact that they've bought, everybody's like, oh, they bought Maryse back. And I'm like, she cannot deliver a line.
She can't
interfere well either. Yes. It looks clumsy.
I don't know. I'm okay with it since it's got him so much more heat. I mean, the WWE audience hates her as much as they hate him. So it's working. Well, I think it'll take another month or two before we can truly see how well.
But my problem there is that, yeah, it's working. It's getting heat for The Miz. It's 2016. How often do you have to spend time, energy, and money at a main event slot? You know, this guy is getting main event on go-home Raws before a major payback. With Roman Reigns.
Was that on SmackDown?
Oh, no, that's on SmackDown. It's 2016. Do we really, like, at what point do you go, you guys have put so much effort into him, and it's got you to this place?
I think the Miz is protected. Honestly, he's protected by someone in power. He knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly how to schmooze. He knows what to say when he's doing TV appearances or podcasts or whatever. Yeah. He says all the corporate buzzwords, everything that corporate wants to hear.
I mean, you know, I'll say, I mean, you know, he's, I don't hate The Miz these days. The Miz for the, like, it was kind of just after his run with John Morrison. I think John Morrison, like, sat him down and taught him, like, some basic psychology. That was when he really started knowing how to do that, running clothesline into the ropes.
The turnbuckle, yeah.
And that, you know, so he's competent. But it's like, oh my God, how many decades of competent Miz do we have to put up with when you could give that slot to somebody else? I mean, yeah, this feud is okay for what it is, but like I said, I think it's an opportunity cost. Like, what are you missing by? I mean,
whose spot is he taking up right now?
You know,
we'll see.
Commentary. Move to commentary.
I agree. Make him either a manager or on commentary for. Hell, move Byron Saxton out of SmackDown and put The Miz there.
Yeah.
But Saxon does not need to be on both shows.
No. I don't know. You don't talk about people who are clearly protected. Byron Saxton.
Yes.
Inexplicable.
He has a look. He has a look. Kevin, that's a Kevin Dunn decision. Anyone who is an actual journalist coming from another non-wrestling place,
yeah,
and they have a good, attractive look, Kevin Dunn slobbers all over it. So
yeah, Kevin Dunn needs to go.
He will once Vince is gone. I honestly do not see Triple H and Stephanie keeping him around.
No. So next match.
That would be Chris Jericho versus Dean Ambrose. This has been an interesting feud.
It's been a really weird way to get Dean Ambrose over as a talker, which is weird because you can just do that by not giving him horrible scripted promo. When he had his horrible scripted death, he hated it. Somebody had clearly seen one of his CZW matches and then hadn't actually heard him talk about being in CZW. When he had his run with Rollins and he had his whole, I'm going to cut you up with a carving knife. And this is a guy who his whole thing has been, yeah, I really shouldn't have done that shit. It was stupid as hell. That his first real main feud before Foley had to say, I can't do it because I'm too ill, was going to be the Thanks Mick feud, where he basically says, you killed a generation of wrestlers by making them think they had to do dumb shit to get over, and I believed you. Exactly. It's your fault. And then they give him that. He's like, who cares? And now he comes back out and you just go, this guy cuts great promos by himself. If you've never seen them, go watch some of the John Moxley promos from CZW and Ring of Honor. And like, oh my God, this guy's good.
On the fly, he is great.
He's charming as hell as well, because they like when he came out and was just like, really? I didn't think that joke was funny, but clearly it works. Like, you are awesome.
From week to week, you can tell where he's cutting a scripted promo and when he's just shooting from the hip.
Yeah. Will they ever make him champ? What do you think? Or will he be the next Roddy Piper, the guy that should have been champ, and like inexplicably they never pull the trigger?
This is a tough one. I would like for him to be champ. I don't think it's going to happen as long as Vince is in power.
Yeah.
I think if Vince, for whatever circumstance arises where he does retire, I can see it happening. I think Triple H, a lot of people do feel that the Shield, all three members were protected mainly because Triple H was so into them. I still kind of feel that way.
Yeah.
So I believe that once Vince is gone, Ambrose is getting the rocket pack put on straight to the top.
Yeah.
But as long as Vince is in charge, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because this was a good match. It's not the best thing I've seen either him or Jericho do. But considering Jericho is a 40 blah, 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 part-timer.
That DDP yoga is doing him one.
Oh, yeah. Right. I've had a few people say, should I do that? And I'm like, well, I'm not doing it, but I'm seriously considering taking it up, because yes. Clearly it's working for these guys.
This guy's putting on matches that even his 20, 30-year-old Jericho, I won't say couldn't do. I will say it's the matches that the 20, 30-year-old Jericho had, but with better psychology behind it.
Yeah. Oh, he just seasoned. And also realizing, like, you don't have to go out and do 5 lion sores. Although I do miss the fact that he doesn't do the proper old lion tamer with the foot on the neck. Yeah. Particularly now, because he's heel Jericho. And I'm loving the fact that heel Jericho is a moron. That, like, he's still, like, that's the difference between heel Jericho and face Jericho. Face Jericho comes out and has a lexicon longer than every WWE tour truck put together. And heel Jericho just goes, you're an idiot.
Stupid idiot.
Stupid idiot.
As if both need to be
saved. I love that basically he's a moron version of himself.
Yes.
And I'm like, that is just beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful thinking, because it gets you over. And again, on SmackDown, when Zayn comes out and goes, really? You spent $15,000 on your light bright jacket? What is up with you? And Jericho's response is to go, and storm out. Beautiful. Beautiful thinking. That's how you do this.
Yes, but the match itself, yeah, really, it was solid. It was solid. One thing I do love about heel Jericho that I cannot stand with babyface Y2J, his matches tend to follow the same exact spot for spot for spot. Oh, yeah. This match kind of resembled his match with AJ, but not 100% the way, so it felt like babyface Jericho match.
I'm not sure whether they intended to have him to have this feud, because I think he came in for the AJ feud, and then it's kind of the way they're booking him is to go, hey, is there anybody you want to go up against? And I think my gut is he went, you know what? If I'm going to be off doing other stuff for a year, Fozzy, I'd like a run with Dean. Yeah, the guy's a good talker.
That match was supposed to happen at WrestleMania, and Brock was supposed to face either Strowman or Wyatt, but Ben. Wyatt's back was injured, and Strowman got pulled. I don't think they're confident in his ability to carry a strong feud.
Who's Strowman? No.
Yeah.
No. And then you hotshot Ambrose into that feud with Brock, and it's like, it's okay.
That felt out of nowhere.
And it's not a particularly well done feud, but I think that's the moment where they realize like how good a talker he is. Or as with the great red cart silent promo, you don't even need to have this guy talk. I think they're realizing that's why I think that he'll eventually get the title shot, and it'll stick, is because they're slowly realizing this guy is just
money,
bottomless potential.
He's money.
He's got that kind of Flair-esque, Piper-esque, you can keep him going because he's very aware of how long he wants to keep doing this and what it's going to take to keep doing this. He can go out and do high-flying stuff. I mean, go back again, watch some of his CZW matches. This guy can, he can be a high flyer when he wants to be.
Because of his range and as far as mic skills are concerned, I don't think he needs to be doing a lot of the spots that he does in his matches. And as with Rollins, I think it's going to open himself up to injuries unnecessarily.
My suspicion is that they're doing that now, but I think we're in a transition. And I think this feud is the beginning of that transition, where he really is the guy who, if you wanted somebody to come out and cut a 20-minute promo, this is the guy. You don't want, Shane Roman and Reigns. Steph and Vin. Oh my god. Although we'll get on to Reigns when we get to the main event. But yeah, okay. So I mean, this was a solid match.
It wasn't, it's not going to be anywhere in match of the year candidacy, but it was a solid match.
Yeah.
Next up, Natalia versus Charlotte. The match that I could have given 4 stars to had it not been for the finish.
Stupid.
2016.
The core problem here is that we all know what happened is that they basically did a reenactment of the
Survivor Series
Toronto Screwjob
Montreal.
Montreal there. And it's like, who cares at this point? Like, there are kids out there who they don't know the joke. Montreal. They know like third and fourth generation references to it. And more importantly,
Brett was there.
Brett was there.
So that's a slap in the face to him who just came back from intense treatment to deal with cancer, and this is his first.
Well, and I love the fact that if you've been following his recent comments, he's basically gone, yeah, this was stupid. I didn't even really want to be there, but they said, do you want to be in Natty's corner? He's like, it's just that, why not?
He had stated something about it. He doesn't feel comfortable taking attention away from the match itself. He said it should be about Natalia and Charlotte.
This is the real problem with this feud is that, Natty and Charlotte, Natty is over. Natty is super over at the moment, in a way she's probably not been since very early on, or when she was like when Cesaro and Kid were teaming, and she was, and her going, where am I in this? And then coming out and basically kicking Kid's ass. My God, I hope he gets well. I hope one day he's ring ready again and that he can get cleared, because I would love to see him come back, because he'd finally got a nail on his character.
Exactly.
And the guy who comes out and just goes, yeah, I'm just listening to my headphones until they tag me in, and then I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to go back listening to my headphones. Beautiful character. Works so well with Cesaro.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to see Bret Hart and a clearly increasingly senile Ric Flair, who then had his instant in the airport. And like, I don't need to see those guys. It undermines Charlotte. That's the big thing. They need to get Charlotte. Like, she doesn't need him anymore.
She does. She hadn't needed him for about 3 months at least.
Yeah. He definitely should not have turned up after WrestleMania. And then this week we've had this fun evolution of that feud. The Flair is basically, Rick has been kind of in the corner, just there, and they're really nicely interweaving it with the Evil Emma Becky Lynch feud, which is one of my favorite feuds. It's a funny thing, like the Charlotte Natalya feud, I love, apart from the fact that they keep bringing their relatives in. And that's the funny thing, it's like, bring Jim Neidhart in, although you can't bring Jim, because I don't think Jim's like allowed near a ring. But you know, Becky Emma.
I thought I wasn't going to enjoy it, given how they've misutilized her. Becky has lost so much since coming up to the main roster that it's why should we care? And I kind of need to get this off my chest.
Come on. Come on, big man.
I'm getting sick and tired of people saying wins and losses don't matter. Yes, we know it's predetermined. Yes, the majority of the audience knows this. The majority of the planet Earth knows this. How am I supposed to care about someone getting a push, or if they're losing all the time? How do I buy into any sort of ranking system or championships mattering when people who lose over and over and over continue to get title shots?
Yes.
I love Sami Zayn's work. One of my favorite NXT stars, period. He's lost so many times, yet he's still in the mix for the belt.
Here's the other...
Becky Lynch. How many shots did she get against Charlotte's championship?
Yeah.
Losing all the time. Dean Ambrose. Love the guy. The guy's work is phenomenal. Loses so much. Why do I care?
The problem they've got now is that people are smart enough with, I think particularly with UFC, and I think UFC has had this huge influence on people understanding how these power rankings work, because it's not like, people try to say, oh, you got the same thing with boxing. You never got that with boxing, because you really had, you had two belts people cared about. Preferably the guy held both of them. And really, it was like, at any one point in time, you're either going to care about the flyweights, which was, mid-90s, people wanted the flyweights, or it was the heavyweights.
Yeah.
And, like, you didn't know, like, all these other divisions. But now, with UFC, and you've got a really clear idea of, like, here's all the weight classes, and you know who's going to be coming up through the weight classes. So you've got to keep that into effect. It's the same thing, it's the same problem I've got with the interaction between NXT and the main roster.
Yeah.
It's like, the way you go up from NXT to the main roster is losing. Shouldn't it be if you are champion for a period of time, like 3 months?
You graduate.
You grow up.
Yes.
That's the point. There is a logic that somebody can, like, do something. So, like, it makes sense.
That's the one problem with NXT. They treat it like a separate promotion than WWE, and we all know Vince's rule, someone's leaving the territory or leaving the promotion, you do the favors.
Yeah.
NXT should not be treated like USWA or Stampede or Mid-South.
And then you've got the silly thing, because you've got people who are turning up on both shows anyway. Well, Zack Ryder is the perfect example, but he's not the only one. I mean,
For a while, a few weeks, Alex Riley was showing up on both.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Who? Oh, bless him. Sloppy as hell worker, but You know,
he tried.
You know, and here's the funny thing: for a long time, he was better than when he was the Miz's sidekick. He was better than the Miz.
Yes, quite.
Which is the grand thing. Anyway, yeah. We've actually got two women's feuds going on at the same time that I care about because of the women involved, and you need to clear all the other junk away.
They're athletes, not divas.
Yeah. Oh, and they're well written. And yeah, the Emma Becky feud is great. They're clearly enjoying it.
And SmackDown is giving a lot of time for their matches. If you noticed few weeks,
it went three segments.
Even with the commercial breaks and, of course, editing, since it's not live, they still are giving the women's matches.
Yeah, it was three full segments because they had the intro in the first segment, went to commercial, came back,
went to
had the match, had a commercial break, and came back. So it went three segments, and you know, Evil Emma is just. I've always had a soft spot for Emma, and the thing is that when they bring Bayley up, it's important that Emma be evil because. Where that's going to be her first view.
I had my concerns with Emma first getting pushed because WWE's track record with Aussies is not...
Bushwhackers? Yeah. No.
Well, aren't they Kiwis?
Who knows? Like,
but, yeah, that whole region...
The Matadors are Spanish.
But, yeah, Aussies typically do not do well as Adam
Rose. Zach Coulter was at one point was South African. You know, but, yeah, I mean, this was...
This was a really, really good match up until the...
With the WrestleMania finish.
Yeah.
Let's call it what it is.
WrestleMania 32 finish. That is now a thing. WrestleMania 32
did. So
main event, AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No. Well, Roman Reigns is...
He's not a horrible worker.
And here's where I think... Like, it's always worth watching the pay-per-views if you've got the network because, you know, you get them anyway, and there's always something worth watching.
Yeah.
This was a solid match with crazy ending of having Steph and Shane come out and go, no, we're changing the stipulation.
To like, no count-outs. Like,
so, and then no DQ. And then you've got this weird situation where Reigns wins, but AJ gets screwed, but AJ looks phenomenal doing it. Reigns, they've finally, like, I hated it when they first did the, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy.
When he said it that one time, the night after Mania, I was fine with it. That should not be a recurring
catchphrase. Well, no, I'm actually okay with it now, because when you watch the, you know, Raw and SmackDown this week, you look at both of them and say, this is a slow heel turn. Although, like, there's this weird thing now that, like, you've got him and the Usos, who are clearly getting the heel reaction, but they're basically, every match, they're still kind of... They're being booked as heels, but they're still doing face kind of tactics. And then you've got
the team formerly known as Bullet Club.
You got AJ, Machine Gun Carl Anderson, who Machine Gun KA. Like, the reason that guy is there is because of Albert. Like, when he was Prince Bernard, like they're over in New Japan, they are good personal friends. He's the reason they bought Finn Balor over. He's the reason they bought Shinsuke Nakamura. All the New Japan guys they're bringing over is because of Albert.
And if it wasn't
bless him for it,
honestly, if it wasn't for H running NXT and Vince not really knowing what's going on
and
there,
H liking obviously liking Albert now, but seemingly being a really lovely guy. And I always say, you know, when he came back and had his terrible. Kanji written on his face gimmick, which was just awful. Go back, and if you get a chance, go and watch him as Giant Bernard in Japan. And he was an ass kicker. He was one of the best gaijin they had for years because he just came out and just go, I'm going to kill you all. You know, it was like watching classic Stan Hansen
snuff film
from that point of view. And I was like, I'm okay with this. But yeah, what we've had this week is them coming in and going, okay, who's the heel and who's the face? I'm a little bit... I like where it is. I'm just concerned that
they're going to lose the
writing team. The audience is into it, but it's weird because you've got the Usos and Roman Reigns, who they've been booking as super faces forever, and everybody's been crying out for a heel turn. And the Usos, I don't think, have looked this good in years, because I think they're up against new opposition, and they were getting stale.
Against the Dudleys, they were looking stale.
And now you've got Gallows and Anderson. And by the way, Gallows, final proof, CM Punk yet again right, because when he left, who did he say, like when he dropped the pipe bomb promo, who did he say, you guys fucked up by not realizing how good they are? Luke Gallows. Mm-hmm. Now Luke Gallows is back as one of the hottest big men in the business, can go straight into main event.
Exactly.
And you got AJ, who, I'm like, wow, you're booking these guys beautifully.
This comes full circle back to my little rant earlier. AJ Styles is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
If I had to book to stay the top 25, he will be on that list from the earliest matches I saw of his in TNA.
One of the greatest matches I ever saw in my life live. It was two back-to-back. It was at a Frontier Wrestling Alliance show in the UK in 2005, and it was cross-motion with TNA, and I think Ring of Honor name was in there somewhere. Okay. And it was Samoa Joe versus CM Punk, one of the greatest 18 minutes of wrestling I've ever seen in my life. I was like, well, that was great, but yeah, how do we top that? The main event was Chris Daniels versus AJ Styles.
Every time those two wrestle.
WWE just, like, the one thing they need to do now is they need to go to Ring of Honor and say, look, how much do we have to give you to buy out the addictions contract and get Daniels and Kazarian up there?
Even on NXT.
I think
they would shine. But I don't know. My main issue, AJ lost at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Why is he back? Why is he still in contention?
Yes. He lost at WrestleMania. He lost against Roman Reigns. Why would he still be in contention?
Yeah, that
should be automatically, you're at the bottom of the list.
The way they could do this and make any sense would be to have Steph and Shane fighting over who they're going to be, who they're pushing, and have them be each is pet champion, then you can make that work. But I loved you. Seeing Carl Anderson and Gallows in full action. They look great. They're perfect in this role. You got AJ still as like, is he going to go to the dark side? And is calling out Roman Reigns at this point, is that going to the dark side, or are Anderson and Gallows right? I'm loving that. I've got the same problem with you. Like, why is he still in contention? Why isn't he getting pushed to the side? They need to give something else there.
Or give us a story reason. The reason there are a lot of people out there that feel wins and losses don't matter is because WWE treats it like, sends that message. Clear message, wins and losses don't matter. You will get title shot after title shot even if you lose 1,000 matches.
Yeah.
But the match itself, I was expecting worse. Reigns did a phenomenal job. I don't think he needs to be selling as much as they have him selling throughout the course of a match.
Well, that was interesting because during Raw and SmackDown, he didn't sell at all. So they're booking him. They're finally booking him like a
Lesnar. He needs to be booked less like Cena, more like Lesnar.
And they're finally realizing that, and I think that's really working. I'm really happy. I want to see where this feud goes because I think this sets up a lot of stuff. And let's briefly turn to NXT because of the
false advertising of the for the first time ever Samoa Joe versus Eric Young.
Which was funny because they're saying for the first time ever, and then it was like them going, we know each other. Oh my god! Did anybody expect that pop when EY turned up? I've got to say, Eric Young, that guy is a trooper. He has endured more good and bad gimmicks and matches than any other human being in the history of professional wrestling.
He gets so much crap for it, and people do not realize it's not like he has creative control.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, I think you give him anything, he's going to go out there so whole hog, and you know, he's come so far as a wrestler. But I did not, you know, I like, you know, I clearly when Joe turns up in NXT, you're going to get a big pop. Where even when they had that sideways look at Bobby Roode, who they need to get signed, just give him the money. Whatever Bobby Roode is asking you for, give him the money, put him in NXT for 6 months, drop the title onto him, then send him up as the biggest badass in the US title hunt. Just have done with it. But Eric, I was like, this could work, this might not. Like, this could, like, same with Austin Aries. Like, it could work, it could not. But as soon as people saw the EY, and he walked out, and you could tell he wasn't sure whether he was going to get that kind of pop, or he was going to get, you know, go back to Orlando.
Yeah.
at a point where TNA is just bleeding. Have you heard
about that? We have to talk about TNA.
We'll turn to that quickly, because we are testing our own patience. But yeah, like Eric coming up. But yeah, TNA, you know, they've had to move into a warehouse now.
Yeah,
literally into a warehouse.
They have to move from their corporate office, well, corporate office in Nashville, to the warehouse. And that's got to be an obvious sign. They can deny all they want. There's some serious financial trouble going on with.
Well, they're on pop. I don't even know if I have pop, and I haven't bothered looking.
I have, and the thing is,
I will watch the local broadcast of Ring of Honor at some variable time after the late night news on Saturday. Here, I'll wait for that. I'm not going to set my DVR to pop.
The funny story is when they transitioned from Destination America to pop, they are now in 80 million more homes, and the ratings have dived.
Yeah.
Plummeting.
Well, it's the wrong network. It's completely the wrong network. The really, oh God, this could be bad news for them completely, because it could be, you know, they're desperate for money, but when the rumor is that the potential big investors are the Harris brothers.
Oh yeah, the Aerolux company that allegedly funded the last few couple TV tapings, and TNA has not paid them back as of yet.
And the fact that the Harris brothers have an interesting... And that's all we wrote. Again, extreme apologies for what happened with this episode. We really, really are very sorry, but please come back. We will have more episodes of Heel Heat, and next time we'll keep the record button pressed down for the entire thing. Again, you can find more of Eugene's work over, well, obviously here at oneofus.net with his Smart Country blog, but also over at thescrumsports.com. Please go and read his stuff there. You can find my work every week at theaustinchronicle.com, and I'm all over oneofus.net. I'm on Digital Noise, The Breakfast Pub, Highly Suspect Reviews, and of course, Heel Heat. So please come back. Thank you so much.